If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more. Amateur Traveler Podcast, Episode 56. Today, the Amateur Traveler Podcast goes to Maui in the Hawaiian Islands. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This episode is brought to you by Hotelbook.com, the official site of independent hotels worldwide. Hotelbook.com, stay your way, stay independent. The first item in the news is the Amateur Traveler Podcast website is back. After 7 days of internet connection held hostage, XO and their partners Covad and AT&T finally figured out which one was to blame and got all the problems, but by that point I had already moved the site away from my home server and onto a hosting provider, so hopefully that will prevent more problems in the future. Second news item for you is a bizarre one coming out of Peru. Hundreds of vultures have swarmed the airport in Peru's city in the Peru Amazon jungle, putting planes at risk and threatening to cut off the city of more than 400,000 people from the rest of the country. The birds already forced the airport in Iquitos, a popular tourist destination that can only be reached from the capital city of Lima by air, to shut down 8 hours a day, said Aurelio said the head of the Peru state-run airport authority. I don't know about you, but trying to land in an airport that's being circled by vultures seems like that would be a bad thing. The final news story for you today comes from USA Today. Stone by stone, a craftsman in Burgundy is building a medieval-style castle in the tiny town of Trenier, France, and I'm sure I butchered that one. Once upon a time, deep in the forests of Burgundy, a man was haunted by a vision. He dreamed of building a castle with turrets, great walls, and a moat. Some people wondered if he was mad. This was, after all, 1996. And yet Michel Guyot set about building a castle the hard way, the medieval way, with only hammers and chisels to carve stones, with only horses to cart the rock, without power tools. 10 years later, he's about one-third finished, and it's turning to be a wonderful spot for tourism. So if you happen to get to Trenier, France, take a look. I'll put links to both of those articles in the show notes. So last week we talked about the Big Island of Hawaii. This week I wanted to talk about Maui. Maui happens to be one of my favorite of the Hawaiian Islands, of the three that I've spent the most time on. I've been to Kauai twice, Maui three times, and the Big Island twice. And I'll go back to Maui, and I find that's also the case for most of the people I know who've gone there. It tends to be a very popular destination from the West Coast. If you look at the Hawaiian Islands, Oahu is the most populated, with about 850,000 people. So it's a very urban environment, at least to the Honolulu area in particular. Maui, which has an area about the same size as Oahu, has 110,000 residents. So it's not quite as populated. It is somewhere in between population density, Oahu and Hawaii. Hawaii having a few more people than Maui, but being a much larger island. And as you think about Maui, Maui sort of acts like two islands. There are two large peaks in Maui, and Maui is called the Valley Island. So on the western peak is Io Needle, and the larger peak, which is the eastern peak, is the extinct volcano of Haleakala. which is the House of the Sun. And all of the people who live in Hawaii, or at least most of the people who live in Hawaii, other than ranchers, tend to live around the fringes of those two peaks. So let's talk about the eastern part of Maui first. The very first morning after you fly into Maui, I'm going to recommend you get up early, very early, because you've probably been flying in from the east or the west coast of the United States, and it's not going to seem as early to you because of the time change, so it's going to be your best chance to do it, and you're going to drive up to Haleakala for the sunrise. And it's a spectacular thing, but it takes about 2 hours to get up to the summit, and so you're going to need to start about 2 hours before sunrise. And you're in the Hawaiian Islands, so you're probably not thinking about it, but dress very warm. Bring very warm clothes. It's cold up there. It's going to be very windy, especially before sunrise comes. And there's a wonderful view from up in Haleakala, and you'll notice I'm saying, as I talked about it last week, that last syllable of Haleakala has a line over the A, and so it's pronounced as a long in duration A, Haleakala. And it's a national park at the top of the mountain. Don't be sure to get your national park passport signed. I'll put some pictures both in the show notes as well as in the iTunes enhanced version for those of you who are listening and watching that version of Haleakala. And it's a wonderfully sparse landscape. As you look down into the crater of Haleakala, it looks like you're on the moon. And there are these cinder cones and these wonderful subtle shades of reds and grays from different lava flows at different periods of time. And if you are more adventuresome and you're a hiker, you can hike down into the crater, and you can hike either there to the ocean, the far eastern part of Maui, or more likely you're going to hike back up again. Now, the elevation of Haleakala is not quite as tall as the two mountains that we talked about, the two volcanoes that we talked about on Hawaii last week, which is Mauna Loa and Mauna Kea. It's about 10,000 feet tall, so it's still someplace that a hike is going to be a breathtaking experience in more ways than one. Again, like the Big Island, there is a windward and a leeward side of the island, and in the Hawaiian Islands, the windward side, that area that is where the water is coming from, where the storms are coming from, is the northeast part of the island, and the leeward side is going to be the southwest part of the island. So northeast is going to be lush, and southeast is going to be more barren, although not quite as much as you'd get on the Big Island, because the mountains aren't quite as tall, so they don't cast quite the size of the rain shadow. If you want to get down Haleakala, one option you have is bike down. And there are tours leaving every day from Haleakala, people who go up to watch the sunrise and then get on a bike, and for 10,000 feet worth of elevation, and with what I'm told are very good brakes, ride these bikes down the mountain back towards the airport that you fly into, the city by the airport in Maui, which is Kahului. As I said, the top of Haleakala is almost completely barren, and one exception to that is the rather striking plant called the silver sword. And the silver sword is an interesting story in terms of conservation, because the silver sword was nearing extinction in part before the national park was created, because people used to take this rather exotic looking plant and pluck it from where they found it as evidence that they had climbed to the top of the mountain. So the combination of that and feral goats eating them was getting close to wiping out the silver sword, but they are now coming back in more abundance, and that's about all you'll find at the top of the mountain as far as plant life goes. You're well above the tree line. So if you have time and you're looking for lush tropical vegetation, then not on the same day you do Haleakala, you want to drive the road to Hana. Now, you have to be not someone who tends to get motion sick, because the road to Hana, or you have to have Dramamine, the road to Hana has over 600 curves. It has 56 bridges, 59 bridges, and 46 of them are one-lane bridges. The speed limit is only 10 to 35 miles an hour, so this is a road that's going to take you a while. And if you're taking the road to Hana, Hana is a very small town. You can stay in Hana, and some people do. It's very isolated and secluded. Some people find it very restful. Or a lot of people will come along further on. Hana is sort of the north east corner of the island, and people go further on to what are called the Seven Sacred Pools, which aren't actually or never have been sacred to anybody, but they got that name for some unknown reason. As you drive along the road to Hana, down on this northern rim with cliffs down below you, sometimes you'll see below you the green taro fields. And taro is probably something you should try while you're in Hawaii. Try poi. I would also suggest you try it when you have something else to eat, because it's an acquired taste. It tastes a little more like paste than anything else. So I think it's one of those tests of Hawaiian citizenship if you really like poi or other forms of taro, although taro chips aren't bad. Well, something's wrong. I've been talking about Hawaii for almost 9 minutes, and I haven't mentioned beaches yet. Most of the beaches aren't in the part of the island that we've covered yet, and we'll get there. But the first beach that I'd mention is back where you started both to drive to Haleakala or to Hana. Where we flew in was Kahului. And Kahului is not where most of the tourists are going to the beaches, and there's one beach there that I'd point out. Mostly locals hang out at that beach, but it is a place where you can go and watch people windsurfing, because it's one of the more popular windsurfing beaches on the island. And so if you go to Ho'okipa Beach Park, you can see that. It's the site of two major windsurfing competitions. And it's not the prettiest part of Hawaii. The drive to there past an oil refinery isn't quite the road to Hana. But if you're really into windsurfing, that would be someplace you might want to check out. Now, personally, I'm not a windsurfer. What I am is a body surfer. And so when I go to Maui, there are two places that we have gone that have been very good places for body surfing, and it really depends on who you're with and what their skill level is. If you're with small children and you want to teach them to body surf, then you might look at Kihei, and Kihei would be on the west side of the east part of the island, facing west. And it's the top of that little inlet there, and it has very calm waters, very small waves. If you're an adult, you're going to windsurf there on your knees. So it's really there more for learning to body surf. That's where my kids learned when they were very young. If you're adventuresome and you really think you are up to the challenge and you don't really value your life too overly highly, then you want to go all the way to the southern part of that part of the island and go to Makena Beach. And Makena Beach is not gentle. Makena Beach is a kind of beach that is going to take you head over heels, and you're going to be digging sand out of your ears for a month from the getting dumped in the surf there. It's someplace where you need to be very careful that when you land on your hands if you're body surfing and not on your neck, because it would be very dangerous. Makena is a more challenging beach. There's also surfers off of Makena. But if you're really up to the challenge, then Makena is the place to go. For those of you looking for a little less attire in your beaches, there's also a beach just north of Makena, Little Beach. So make sure you go to the right one. The one off the parking lot is the one, the family-oriented beach, and the clothing optional beach is just north of that. In between the shore that is the Kamioli 1, 2, and 3 beaches at Kihei and Makena are two different regions, and they're very different. Kihei is a more of a residential area. It's a very nice quiet place to stay if you want to stay more where the Hawaiians live. So it's not the resort area. And then down below Kihei are the resort areas of Wailea. For instance, in Wailea is where a lot of the very fancy, more expensive resorts, one of two places on the island where more of the expensive resorts are. And certainly I would recommend, if you, not necessarily staying in Wailea, we tend to stay in some place a little less expensive, maybe an independent hotel, but if you want to stay someplace there and then go eat, I would recommend going to a brunch at the Wailea Resort. And now that we've talked about getting in the water, I'm also going to recommend you go find a book before you go to Maui called Snorkel Maui and Lanai, The Guide to Underwater World of Hawaii. The authors are Judy and Mel Malinowski, And it's a wonderful guide not to just the big beaches, but to really tiny hidden beaches where there's some interesting snorkeling. And it grades the beaches in terms of how easy it is to get in the water, how good the snorkeling is once you're in the water, and gives you detailed guides how to get there. So one particular beach, for instance, that we found using this book is Chang Beach. And Chang's Beach is a little tiny cove located, again, on the road to McKenna, in between McKenna and Kihei, south of Wailea. And it is a very small cove located by the McKenna Surf Condos. And it looks like it would be a private beach for the condos, but there are no private beaches in Hawaii. By state law, all beaches are open to the public, and there has to be a path to get to them. So even if you're not staying someplace, you could use the beach. And so there's a little tiny public parking lot with only 9 spaces that's about 2 miles south of the shops of Wailea. A little blue access sign for number 104 and a little path about 120 yards over to Chang's Beach. No facilities, but when we're in Chang's Beach, it's like a private beach. There weren't people coming down from the condos, and so when we were there, there were maybe 2 or 3 other people at this small cove. And just wonderful little snorkeling there. One thing I would recommend for snorkeling in Maui is, in general, I would recommend snorkeling in the first part of the day when the water is often calmer and you'll see more fish, and then do something else in the later part of the day. Go shopping, go do one of your excursions, your hikes, or do your body surfing later in the day. So snorkeling early, body surfing late, or something else along those lines. Okay, I've been talking fast, but I still have half an island to cover and about half a show to do it in. So that is pretty much the eastern part of the island. The western part of the island, I said earlier that the mountain there was Io Needle, but the actual mountain name is Pu'u Kukui. But Io Needle Valley State Park is one of the better places to go to on the eastern side of the western part of the island. And it's near Kahului or Wailuku, and it's a nice little hike up to Io Needle, and Io Needle is historically important as one of the places where King Kamehameha won the battle that united the Hawaiian Islands, and particularly defeated the King of Maui at the Io Valley State Park. I just realized I've gotten to this part in the podcast, and I haven't really mentioned Hawaii weather. I think people know that Hawaii is tropical. One of the things that's a little different about going to Hawaii, though, versus some other tropical locations you may have been to, is the trade winds, because Hawaii is kept very pleasant because, although it's very warm, there is usually a trade wind blowing from, again, from northeast to southwest that makes it very nice. It's a very wonderful place to go. The weather is nice pretty much all year round because it's both warm and yet you get those cooling breezes. As you come south from the Io Needle on Highway 30 or the Honoapili-Ilani Highway, you'll come to the Maui Tropical Plantation and Country Store, and you could stop. I don't think it's necessarily something that's worth a lot of time, and I don't know that I would recommend the $9.50 for the tram ride through the different plants, but if you're really into what different types of things are growing there, you might want to take a look at that. You're also going in that particular region there through sugarcane fields, too, so take a look at the around you at some of the sugarcane fields and the sugarcane processing plants. And then you'll come down through the Central Valley, again, Maui being the valley island, to Ma'alea. And Ma'alea is where a lot of the harbor is in Maui, and a lot of the boat tours would go out of Ma'alea. Specifically, one of the places that you can catch the tours out to Molokini. And Molokini is an interesting top of a volcano that is mostly submerged, just leaving a crescent-shaped island. And as you go out there, it's a preserve, and so you're not actually allowed to touch the island, but a lot of boats will go out, catamarans especially, and go out, tour to Molokini and snorkel there. And it's an amazing variety of fish in Molokini, but there's also an amazing variety of tourists and boats. It is a fairly popular destination. And the road out to Molokini can be... the way out to Molokini on a catamaran can be fairly choppy. So we certainly had the first time that we went out there, my wife gets seasick, and we don't tend towards seasickness, but that ride out there did it for her because it was very choppy all the way out. So something to be aware of. If you're looking for getting to Molokini for free, which is how we did it our first time, as you come around to the west side of Maui, the major city that you'll find is Lahaina. And in Lahaina, you can't throw a stone without hitting somebody who's going to try and sell you a timeshare. And frankly, it may not be a bad idea. But what they're going to offer you is some sort of trip or some sort of deal if you will go spend a part of a morning doing a timeshare presentation. And that may be something you're interested in. My wife and I certainly owned a timeshare in Maui for about 12 hours in Kihei, because we went to one of those presentations, and it was for a five-star resort in Kihei, a lovely resort. It was a Lawrence Welk-owned resort, which is kind of odd, and it was quite lovely, and somehow we found out that we walked out of the resort owning a timeshare, and we really hadn't planned on doing that, but it was a very good sales presentation. And the time that we did the road to Hana, we did the road to Hana a little distracted from all of the bridges and such by thinking about, oh my gosh, we just bought a timeshare, did we really mean to do that? Fortunately, my wife woke up in the middle of the night and got up and looked at the contract and saw that there was a 3-day clause to get out of it, and the next morning we dropped the contract in a mailbox with the cancellation clause having been enforced. But we did get a trip to Molokini out of it, and there are different trips that are available if you are willing to endure a timeshare presentation. I don't know personally that it's worth it on a vacation. But Lahaina also is a great place for shopping, both from the low-end shopping, the ABC stores, which is probably the cheapest place to get Hawaiian souvenirs on the island, the Hilo Hatties, which you've got to go to and get your free shell necklace price out their Hawaiian clothes, as well as a lot of the other smaller clothes. There's also a lot of restaurants in Lahaina, and it's probably the most popular place to go on Maui out to dinner, and better nightlife in Lahaina than some other places, and also a lot of festivals under the big banyan tree in the main park there, and the remains of the fort that were built out of coral reef can still be seen there. The blocks that were carved out of the coral, which we, of course, would consider ecologically a bad idea today, but at the time, that was what they were doing. So the kind of restaurants that I would recommend, obviously, you can find your fast food there in a pizza place. You can also find your Hard Rock Cafe in Lahaina, and it's pretty good. It's not a bad location. Two restaurants, though, that I want to recommend particularly in Lahaina. One is Kimo's, and Kimo's is more just a lower-price burger kind of place. You can get your Kimo's t-shirt there. I know it's a favorite of some friends of ours who go back to Maui quite often. But Kimo's is right on the water, and especially the right time of year, you can sit on the Kimo's balcony and watch the gray whales migrate by. And there are boat tours that leave from Lahaina that go out and do whale watching. There's also a Nautilus submarine that does home base there in Lahaina, and you can go out and take this submarine ride out in the water near Lahaina. One of the other trips that you can do from Lahaina then is also a catamaran snorkeling trip out to the islands of Lanai, the island of Lanai, and that's another popular trip, which is at least a half day to full day trips going out to Lanai, and you usually eat lunch over in that part on that island, and it's more you're getting away a little more from the crowds because Lanai doesn't have nearly as many people. So the other place that I recommend for dinner in Maui, although I haven't been there in a little while, is Longhi's, and Longhi's the time that we ate there. It was a very interesting experience. It's a fine dining restaurant, but it's Hawaiian casual. So you could still go in your shorts and your Hawaiian shirt, as you can go anywhere in Hawaii, it seems, in your shorts and your Hawaiian shirt. And the waitress sat down with us and said, "So what do you want? We got chicken, we got fish, we got beef, we got..." I don't know what the other options were. I'm interested in chicken. Okay, well, here's some of the ways we're doing chicken tonight. And, you know, my wife said she's interested in doing fish. Okay, well, these are the fish we have, and this is kind of how we're preparing it. So we didn't actually even see a menu, but a wonderful wait staff on that particular visit. I think we probably put that waitress on our Christmas card. Just really hit a real accord with her very quickly. It's very casual, very laid back, very Hawaiian in that style. And that's really something we should say about Hawaii. One of the reasons we keep going back to Hawaii is my boss, for instance, who comes from New York City, his family used to say he couldn't relax at all except when they went to Hawaii. Hawaii is a relaxed vacation, and it really, if you can't relax in Hawaii, give it up. You probably can't relax anywhere. One note about food is clearly Hawaii is going to be known for its seafood, but Maui is also known for Maui onions. So anything with onions on it might be a fresh Maui onion there in Maui. Near Lahaina is also the sugar train, and frankly, that'd be something I would recommend is more of a tourist trap and something probably to skip. As you go up the coast from Lahaina, you come to the other resort area on Maui, and that's the Kanapali and the Honokawai and Kahana. Going up that coast, there are more resorts. And going finally, as you a lot of little beaches again on there, and consult again the Snorkel Maui and Lanai book. But one of the beaches that I would recommend is way up at the Nakalele Point, but again, a beach that I would recommend for the morning before things get rough in the surf, especially in the wintertime when the surf will tend to get rougher than it does in the summertime. Helicopter tours are also available on Maui, although personally I would recommend saving your helicopter tour for when you go to the Big Island or when you go to Kauai, but I'm sure it would also be lovely in Maui. I think I'll always have a soft spot in my heart for Maui, and one of the reasons for that is it's really the first place that my wife and I went on a vacation without our kids. Actually, one of the very few places we've gone, especially for a week without our kids. And we normally like to take them along. They're very nice to have around, but when they were 2 and 3, we spent a week in Maui and in Kauai, and it was all paid for by the company I was working for, who had asked me to delay my vacation the fall before, as we were in a crunch to get a product out, and I had bought non-refundable tickets to the East Coast. And I kept saying, you know, tell me when I can go, tell me when I can go. And they said, book your trip to the East Coast at this time. And I, as it got closer and closer, I said, I'm still got these tickets. And finally, very shortly before the trip, they said, we're going to ask you to delay for 3 weeks or so. And what we'll do is we'll send you and your wife someplace warm. And so they sent us to Maui. And it was a wonderful experience because especially I was coming out of a startup environment here in Silicon Valley, had been working very, very hard. And to go from the very hardworking lifestyle of working nights and evenings many times and eating dinner that was brought into work and to go to Maui, it was just such a wonderful, relaxing experience. I think there's something about even just getting off the airplane in Kahului that is relaxing in Maui. Right away you know you're someplace else because the luggage claim is outside, basically under a cover to keep it away from the tropical rains, but you don't need to keep it away from the cold because you're in Maui. And it's just a wonderful tropical paradise, and I certainly would recommend it highly if I haven't already done so to you. I haven't done internet resources section recently, so I'll give you a couple resources today. One is something I should have mentioned last week. It's a website that is a live panorama of the Pu'u'o'o vent on Kilauea Volcano on the Big Island. So I'll put links to that in the show notes, but that is an interesting webcam to look at, certainly above average in terms of interest. The next one is an article coming from Smarter Travel, and it's the 10 best adventure travel bargains of 2006, and it lists places like Morocco's Atlantis Panorama, sailing the Greek islands, cycling in Provence, guided hikes in Yellowstone, etc. So I'll put links to that in the show notes, but interesting if you're interested in adventure travel.
please comment on the show at the discussion boards. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Or go and leave a comment on amateurtraveler.com now that that is back up. Also, feel free to send me an email. If you sent me an email last week, again, to host@amateurtraveler.com, don't be surprised if I did not reply because they were, with the site being down for 7 days, I did lose some emails. They should have bounced back to you because they hadn't been delivered in too long. It wasn't because I don't care. That's really just what you need to know. Thanks very much for listening. I appreciate your growing number of listeners, and I hope you'll share this with your friends, and hope you'll have a wonderful trip to Hawaii. Please remember the sunblock. Thanks for listening. This episode was brought to you by HotelBook.com, which features nearly 5,000 unique and independent hotels in more than 140 countries. Whether it's a resort, a cabana, or a castle, HotelBook.com invites you to stay your way and stay independent. Visit HotelBook.com to see the latest destination deals with rates from $60 a night. From an upscale city hotel to a relaxing beach retreat, HotelBook.com will show you the best deals for that one-of-a-kind travel experience. HotelBook.com. Stay independent.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.